Hello?
Hey, Dad.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I need a sound bite from you. I'm recording a podcast. We are doing a... Today's topic is about 80s music, so we had to bring a couple records from our collection from the 80s. So I've got a few. One of the questions I've got for the group is, if you were to ask your parents their thoughts on the music scene in the 80s or what made the 80s a special time for music, what do you think they would say? And I encourage everyone to maybe give their parents a call and actually get a quote or response for that. So this is me doing that to you.
Okay.
What are your overall, like, what are some words that come to mind when you think about the music scene in the 80s? And what do you think made the 80s such a special time for music?
Well, you know, for me, the 80s was the best decade of music of my lifetime. You had a lot of things going on in the music scene. It was the time where disco was ending. House music was starting to blow up, and rap music also came on the scene. There was even some rock and roll bands that was doing some good stuff. Like, it was a cross-genre of music that was actually exploding at that time.
How would you describe the music? Like, what made it what made it stand out?
There was a lot of carryovers from the 70s. It was carrying a different message. It was carrying one of, more or less, one of unity. And also, there was a lot of music being put out about stopping drug use and furthering education and all of these things. Even the rap music at the time was doing that. The lyrically songs were a lot better because people had some really hard lyrics. Even in love songs, they were like, man, they were breaking stuff down. It was a lyrically better time.
And what would you say was your favorite genre of music at that time?
I was a house music dude, man. Well, in the '80s, I had two favorite people that I would buy their music in the '80s like that, man. And that was Atlantic Star. They were my best group in the '80s. And Melba Moore was probably my best singer, because she put out a lot. And also, I love Patrice Rushen in the '80s too.
Okay, well, fantastic. I think that I got what I needed for this. And you might have, and I think I have that Atlantic Star album. So I think I might bring that in your honor.
Only one?
Pretty good. Do you mind turning off? Can we turn off the fan just for a little bit? There we go. I like how my dad said, and there were some good rock bands doing stuff too. I was like, you mean like the year for like some of the biggest rock shit ever?
Yeah, right.
I think it just goes to show even like his pocket was like that, you know?
And that's dope because my dad was telling me similar things. That's what made me smile about that interaction that you had with your pops, because the conversation went very, very similar. My pops told me when I asked him the question, you know, about the 80s music scene, he mentioned rock. That was his big thing. Like, rock music was still kind of, you know, was a good genre, and you could hear it everywhere. But then hip hop was the thing where he's like, yeah, it for him in his mind, my pops is what, 40, 57? So for him, that hip hop, you know, it was at the peak of you know, his cultural, you know, shaping, and hip hop was the big thing that popped out for him. But yeah, he talked about disco. He talked about the same bands, man. Is interesting to hear that. How old is your dad?
I think he's only a few years shy of hitting 60. So I think he's like 57, 58.
Yeah, yeah.
Did anyone else talk to their parents about 80s?
My dad.
What'd your dad say? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but my parents are Hispanic, obviously. So my parents are on the Spanish side of things. And my dad says what he, 80s till this day, even 80s English music is still his favorite genre of music. I was just telling you guys, in Puerto Rico, the old school station is called Magic over there, and that's like what he listens to. And in La Palguera, which is this one place, and that has every other weekend they have live 80s music, and he's there every weekend with his girlfriend, loyal. What he misses about it is that, like, when people used to perform live, like in the Spanish music and specifically, like the congueros and the timbaleros used to have competition with each other, and like saxophone players used to have their own solos. So he misses that in live music nowadays. He hates Bad Bunny. He's like, not like the music with Bad Bunny nowadays, where it's like a cuss word every other word. He says that it was like good, fun, clean music. It wasn't like like violent music. Like he says, like now music nowadays is so like negative. He says 80s was like very positive and up feel good music. So that's what my daddy said.
Okay. Matt, what about you? It sounded like earlier you mentioned maybe you had talked to your parents too about 80s.
No, I didn't get a chance to. I got the prompts like a little bit before coming over here. But I also, when I think about like 80s and my parents sort of like listening habits, the thing that sticks out to me is mixtapes.
Hmm.
Because my mom was, she taught aerobics classes and was like, she would make like mixtapes like for her classes, you know, and it was a lot of like dance music and stuff. But I just remember like the case, like the zip case that you would open, and then you had all the tapes like lined up and you could pull them out, and they had little cards on them like that you could write like the track list on there. It'd be like Madonna, and then like, you know, I feel like that was a thing in the 80s where like dance music, like your pops was saying, like house, sort of like infiltrating like pop music at that time and like becoming like synonymous with pop music by the end of the 80s. And so you would have like Madonna and like D-Light and like all these other like sort of groups that came out of like dance culture that became like pop artists and stuff that were like ended up on an aerobics mixtape, you know?
Freddie, what about you? What would your, did you have a chance to talk to your parents?
I shot my mom's a text. She also acknowledged Atlantic Star as one of her favorite groups from back then. Because you said both of y'all loved Atlantic Star. You said your dad too, right?
No, he didn't mention Atlantic Star specifically, he liked house music though.
Yeah, for the most part, it was Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston. For some reason, my mom mentioned Snoop Dogg.
Early 90s.
I don't think mom got the questions. maybe she was on Adrian Yaya's.
David, you beat me to picking, it. I was going to say.
Decades that weren't.
That's just a testament to the man's star power is what it is.
She suffers from era-itis. Now, Snoop Dogg was 70s, definitely 70s.
But U2, Aerosmith, and Journey was also on her list.
Oh, so Journey. That's Jackson's most favorite band.
Shit. This America.
I thought it was Chicago.
Chicago and Journey.
All right. That was my little warm-up segment. Let's go ahead and really get this thing started now. I appreciate you guys reaching out. You know, everyone pretty much did the homework.
We tried.
And I appreciate that. All right. Let's go ahead and get this thing officially started. Spin heads, welcome back to another episode of the Next Spin podcast. This is episode 16 and to any new listeners joining us for the first time, welcome to the Next Spin.
First time with the headphones on, y'all.
Yeah, still cracks up at that. That's right. That is right, folks. We got the full cast with us here today. My name is Botter, and I'll be one of your co-hosts today. I am joined by the usual suspects today. We got our guy, Freddie Quiet Storm Douglas, a.k.a. the only man Gordon Ramsay has nightmares about.
Mm.
You know, you always have a new one, and I appreciate it.
I try to keep it creative. On mic number three, we got Don Stefan. But today, you can call him SL Cool J. That's for Sabina.
Okay.
Loves Cool J.
That's right. Hey, I love that.
What up, Don? All right. And as you could tell, the queen of Next Spin is back with us. She's not a businesswoman. She's a business. Whoa, man. Yaya is back with us.
A couple of snaps for my guy Botter. He's working. Real.
We need to do one for Botter, y'all.
Yeah, so for real.
Still waiting. 16 episodes in. All good. All right. And last but not least, we do have a special guest co-host today, Spinheads. He is actually our first repeat guest in Next Spin history. He's making history today, all right? If you listen to episode 11, we had a fantastic interview with this individual right here. His name is Matt Shaw. He's the arts and culture editor at WJCT News and the master curator of the incredible Jack's-based music platform, the JME. Let's go ahead and give him a round of applause, folks. Come on. Let's give him a little Spin welcome right here. That's how we
welcome man.
With Snake Pit. What up, Matt? Thank you so much
Honored.
For coming back for this.
Yeah, one. Thanks for having me.
And I just want to say, like, today I made everyone dress 80s because, you know, it's fun. And Matt participated.
Yes, so, he did. Yes. He had the king. He had the
Adidas. He did not be like, do I really know? He was like, I got this. Right. I was like, yeah, Matt.
To be honest, it was on accident, but
yeah. Yeah, Matt's like, what did I say about me now? Now he's self-conscious. He's like, all right, and then of course we got to give a round of snaps to our in-studio audience, which includes Sabina and the guy behind the camera, our boy Tony Smiley. There we go. All right, so just in case if you are new to this Next Spin podcast, I want to go and start off by knocking the dust off the wax with some house cleaning items, right? I only got two things to mention to new listeners. It won't be long, all right? First and foremost, if you haven't listened to our previous episode, which was centered on our favorite sampled records and a long conversation about hashtag old guys on TikTok, go ahead and give that a listen when you're done with this one. It's a lot of fun. And lastly, please make sure that you're following the podcast on Instagram at NextSpin. That's with two X's. You can see pictures and videos from this meetup and content related to our personal music taste. And that's all I got for house cleaning items, right? I think the house is clean. You got your marching orders if you're a new listener. Let's go ahead and dive into today's topic, which is 80s music, all right? Our girl Yaya is back with us on the podcast and the meetups this month after a lengthy...
Yeah.
It's been a couple months, actually.
Yeah. No, for real, it's been like two
And whose
episodes.
Fault is that, all right? If I was to ask Freddie, who would...
It's me, 100%. Freddie, don't look at me like that. I forgot what it was, the first one where I couldn't go. And then last month...
You were back in the motherland.
I was in Puerto Rico.
There we go. So, yes. Yeah, what made you pick... I think 80s was like a theme that you've been looking forward to, but why specifically?
Because I really do love 80s music. I'm an 80s girl. I was born in the 80s. It's my dad's favorite genre music. It's literally it's one of the ways I learn English is through listening to 80s music. It's like a upbeat, positive music era. If you think about it, that's when music videos came out, was in the 80s. I feel like 80s music really just changed like the set of how we listen to music now and how music videos are now. So,
well said. Matt, how often would you say that you play 80s, whether it be personally or for professionally?
I think the 80s looms large. Like, I think on, you know, like AAA radio formats, you know, like college radio and stuff, which is what we do like at WJCT with the Independent. There's a lot of 80s stuff. Because of some of the stuff that we were talking, you know, when we weren't on mics earlier, but like the rise of independent music culture, hip hop was really like becoming more than, it was growing from the, you know, its location in New York to like spreading across the country and becoming, you know, a cultural force, you know, across the country. And then you just had, you know, these scenes like bubbling up with dance music and other things like that. And so you can hear the influence, even if we don't play artists from the 80s, you can hear the influence in like almost everything that's current right now too. So like to my personal music taste, I think like, I don't know. I was actually just going through my record collection because we were moving back into our house and I had to organize them. And I was like, thinking about this podcast, and I think it'd probably be like 30% of the records that are in there are like, you know, from 1980 to 1989. So it's a good amount of you know, classic albums came out there too.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, Adrian, you were one to bring what I feel like at least two out of three of your records were
close enough, Bar. Come on, man.
Two of the three records you brought are what we would deem like quintessential starter, like vinyl collection, like must haves.
Yes, for sure. Like, so for, you know, you got to have some Michael Jackson in your collection if you're collecting vinyl. So Thriller obviously is an album that everyone should have. And then obviously Fleetwood Mac. They made just incredible music. And yeah, I had to have that in collection, even though it wasn't within the bounds of the 80s. Yeah, but it's close enough. 1977 is close. and that's something to talk about and think about, right? So like, you know, we're talking about music and how it's how we were talking about this off mic, how music is consumed now. So you know, it's very quick bubblegum type music and you move on to the next thing. Fleetwood Mac, for example, had a long staying power for the different songs. So, and it, back in those days, I think, you know, the way that people consume music was different. It wasn't as quick as we do it now. So
I've got this question for later, but I'll go ahead and state my answer that I think, Freddie, you probably had my favorite records brought in, because you actually challenged yourself to go above and beyond what you normally would play. You know, like normally, I think we were all expecting.
Are you calling me basic?
No, not at all. Not at all. Like, you made a point that we do play a lot of soul and R&B. You know, that is usually our go-to choices. But I thought your approach to it this month was real interesting. Could you speak a little bit about how you went about picking your records?
I mean, you kind of said it. Obviously, my love for R&B and soul go very deep, but I wanted to challenge myself and dust off the old 80s pop rock bin, because that probably gets touched the least. I have it like literally under a table because I don't even listen to them pretty often. But I did some digging today. I was like, let me play some classics that I grew up on from the old dusty box.
You hit us with Chicago. You hit us with some Foreigner. I mean, where did... I guess safe to assume like most of that kind of comes from your mom showing you that type of music.
Yeah. I've mentioned this off mic too, but riding around in my car as a kid listening to Delilah, love someone tonight. And also we're talking about as far as the 80s go, Grand Theft Auto, Vice City.
Come on, man.
I mean, roaming through those streets of Vice City. Running people over, listening to some Fleetwood. Not Fleetwood, that's 70s.
Come on, man. The impact, it was in the 80s too.
Yeah, when you brought up Grand Theft Auto Vice City, it was like you unlocked the memory. That game is set in the 80s, like prime, like Miami drug lord Vice era. And that radio, the radio stations that they had were all like prime. I made a joke, like, we used to play that game and it was us running away from the cops doing the most vile shit a group, you know, a bunch of teenage boys could do in that game. And my dad would walk in like, you know, if your mom saw y'all playing this, she'd kill me. We're going to turn up the volume on this Mary Jane Sisters right here. Damn, this music in here is real good.
Whoever curated that playlist for that game was on it.
That game, obviously, like heavily influenced by the TV show Miami Vice in the 80s, which was like, you know, as far as television back then, like sort of a cinematographic, leap in how it was produced. And one of the things they did on that show that it was famous for was they used popular music like in sort of these interstitial like montages and stuff. And so like Yaya played Phil Collins in The Air Tonight. There was a famous scene. Like Tubbs and Crockett like driving to do a drug raid, and it's like in the air tonight, and like you can feel the tension building. But like I think that is a sort of a theme with 80s music and just music kind of being everywhere all of a sudden. It was music videos, it was being used on popular television, and you know, if you're a big pop star in the 80s, you were everywhere, you know, like you were, you know, like Michael Jackson, like there'll never be another Michael Jackson, because I just don't think that we, like, obviously amazing artists, but like people don't get into music the way that we don't consume music in all these sort of ways that people did in the 80s.
I was going to say, I think that's super interesting too, about like just content in general, like cultural content in general at the time. Like you only had so many channels where you could, you know, get content in the first place, right?
There's a funnel neck to it.
Exactly. So I think just he was a victim of the circumstances, like, you know, or I guess a victor of the circumstances. You know what I mean? Like there's no way that you could avoid Michael. He was only on a couple of different channels. He's only on different radio waves, and that's the only way you're going to get it, you know?
I like the word that you use to describe, and I believe, you know, when you think of Air in the Night, I think it's like meant to evoke like that sense of tension. A lot of this music sounds very triumphant, you know, like it's like you're like a victory in the moment. Even like the love songs that we kind of heard, it was like, I think Adrian, you said it best. What did you say? It's like very,
it's very like, I don't know, it's just overtly positive, man. Like it just feels like you're saying triumphant. Like
it sounds like they're all were made to be on a movie soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like very loud, bombastic. Even like the love songs are still bombastic, you know, yeah, very like complex, multi-layered. I think Matt, me and you were like noticing, like, I think it was like either maybe Foreigner, you know, A Girl Like You. There was like all these different arrangements going on. You're like, damn, this is a fucking love song. Like, this is a love power ballad, or, you know, love ballad going on.
Babies were made to these ballads.
These triumphant ballads.
Yeah, somebody was triumphing.
But then I feel like it's also like a lot of this music is versatile, right? Like it still stands a test of time. Like you could still hear this shit out and about because it's like versatile. You could play it like, you know, in your car really loud, or on, you can hear it on like a dance floor, but you can also hear it like in intimate settings, right? In your home and like in a bedroom, whatever it may be. I feel like a lot of this music kind of transcends and adapts to any form factor that you play it in.
Yeah. And it's, and you can go to any party, any bar, and you can put on 80s music and people will enjoy it. Like it's, it doesn't matter what background you're they're from. People love 80s music. You will hear somebody be like, oh, play Chicago. You have Chicago? You play Chicago for me? Like, oh, you play Journey? Like, it just, 80s has this power of music. I don't know. I just love it. I love the way it makes people feel. I love thinking of people dancing, you know, because back in the day, people don't dance nowadays. Like, you get very less, you know, here in Jacksonville, we're pretty lucky to have a group of people that go out dancing. But you know, back in the 80s, everyone danced, you know, like, and I feel like that was, the music was, people produced music for people to dance, you know, breakdancing, like, remember breakdancing became a huge thing in the 80s, so.
I'm really glad Yaya came back and immediately gave us some more, like, hashtag old guy on TikTok energy. Because last month we was in it. But I do agree with a lot of points that you were making, Yaya. I think it's safe to assume for a majority of us, we were all probably, you know, young children during like the heyday of like 80s music and all that. But it's probably safe to assume a lot of us heard this music being played by our parents, you know, whether it be in the car or in the house or whatnot. What is some music that comes to mind that your parent, like what was your parents like go to? Like, what do you remember from your childhood being played during that time, if you can remember it?
Because my parents were a little older, so they definitely stuck to the 60s and 70s. But obviously, like,
I, your parents were like, what is this newfangled ass 808?
Yeah, like, what is this kid music? But one thing my mom always said was that Michael Jackson's always been her favorite artist, but she literally watched Michael Jackson grow up in front of her eyes. And that's, she had such a connection with him, especially when he passed and everything. That was like a big deal for her to see someone that she literally watched grow up pass away, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of Michael Jackson was played, a lot of Prince, a lot of Whitney, Anita Baker. I was going to bring her because Anita's my baby.
But you had that self-imposed challenge. And I
was like, no, nah, I ain't going to do it.
I respect you for that. Adrian, same question to you, man. What are some memories you got of music your dad played in the house?
Nah, you nailed it, man. It was exactly that. Like the majority of the music we were listening to was in the backseat of the car, driving around somewhere, you know, you know, the lifestyle was military kid. So long road trips, a lot of music being played. So for me, but the thing is, we were listening to a lot of radio. So for me, it was, I was getting the, when we were doing road trips, I want to say it was like early 90s. So we were, if, you know, the 80s music, again, like the last thing, like the staying power of songs back in those days, like you could hear songs from, you know, 88, 89 on the radio, and it wouldn't be a weird thing. But yeah, when he did, you know, put on CDs and stuff like that, it would be the same thing. Michael, it would be Whitney, you know, it would be, you know, Anita. So yeah, that's the type of stuff that we were listening to, man.
I was just thinking, you know, like my parents, I think their first date was, they went to a concert. They went to see the Police, and, the Go-Go's opened up for the Police, which are two, like, to me, like quintessential 80s bands. And I was trying to think about, like, you know, like what the connection is between like 80s music and like them. I mean, obviously, like, those are two like sonically different bands, but I think they fit in that I wouldn't really consider a lot of like the 80s like really popular artists. Like, it's pretty superficial lyrically, you know, and it's like you were talking about earlier, like triumphant. You know, I was thinking, I was like, this is the decade that like the party happened. Like, everybody, it was like the birth of the party, you know. It was like you had music that was just made to like make you feel good, and for situations where people were like, you know, trying to feel good. Like, that's like rave culture started in the 80s, and like you know, it's like not to say that there wasn't a lot of like lyrically really deep records made in the 80s, but I think everything that sort of like stood the test of time is like kind of like on the superficial level. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all, but
just pop music.
Yeah.
Simplicity. I think simplicity at its best.
Right.
Yeah.
I said it earlier. There's a lot of bands that like were one hit wonders in the 80s. Like, I feel like back in the day, the music industry wasn't so much about what band was good, was more like what song is going to be good right now. And that's why you see a lot of bands only like are, you know, only have one hit from the 80s, but you don't know the name of the band, but you know the song and you know the name of the title of the song. And you're like, but who sings that song?
Yeah, it was like the Foreigner album that I brought. I was like, I don't know shit about this band, but they got some hits.
They got some shit, though.
Freddie, where did you find that album? Because you said that, like, you've heard a few and you liked them, but then you were also like, I don't know shit about the band. And so where did you find the band or the music?
I mean, when I go to a record store, it's a thing. Like, I'm in there, I got my little headphones in, okay, I'm doing my research, I'm sitting down, it's like a peaceful moment for me. I take my time in the record store. So
how long would you say what is the average length of time that you spend at a record store, especially like a new one?
At least a couple of hours.
Hmm.
Yeah. But I usually take time. Like me and Tony went up to DC a couple weeks ago, and we definitely had some record stores on our to-do list. And we took out times of the day, you know, 3-4 hours to just sit and dig.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. What, you about to say something?
I am so mesmerized by you sharing all of these very intimate stories of you and Tony today. Like, I that's what I'm saying. Tony didn't.
I'm not sharing
here.
The other one. I don't want to. You're not going to. Did you record me saying that shit? There's no proof. Look, nothing was said.
Our listeners will never hear, you know, the very sweet Chicago story that we got
for our ears only.
For our, and Matt was lucky enough to be here
that's
with
right,
us today.
That's
here.
Right.
All right. So. But that is a really good transition to talking about the records that we brought, as well as the records that we've recently bought. So I want to hear from everyone, starting with Matt. What is the last record you bought or records that you have bought?
I'll tell the longest version of the story.
Please, this is a podcast.
Jeez.
It's the format for it, brother.
So we're bringing this band in October. They're called Witch, and they're a Zamrock band, like Zambian rock from the 70s. And there's a whole story behind this band. I'll share some articles with you if you want. But they were like as big as the Beatles in Zambia, like in the 70s. And like they had needed police escorts wherever they went. They made music for 10 years or so, you know, through political turmoil, deaths of band members, whatever. They never really, like, you know, had an audience outside of Africa, or really just their home country. But there was a documentary made about them in 2010, and this record label reissued like all their music, and so they've become fairly popular. They're doing their first North American tour. Anyway, so we had just booked this band to come in October, and I was up in Portland, Maine on vacation, and there's a couple record shops that we go to when we're there, and they had a like an Africa section, and the first one was like one of these reissues of Witch, and I had never found that. You know, you can order it online or whatever, but I don't really shop for records.
You want
online.
The thrill of the
me
hunt?
Neither.
You want the thrill of the hunt?
Me yeah. neither.
So it was like it was the first one in the stack, and I was like, oh, cool. It was like 2 days after we had like confirmed this band coming.
Oh,
so,
that's cool.
Yeah,
serendipitous.
So I got that one. It's called Hometown, and it's
it was
like
a sign.
I think it was the first record that they put out, but it's like, you know, they're really influenced by like James Brown and like Jimi Hendrix and Rolling Stones, but then they were putting like, you know, like African rhythms behind the music. So it's like this really distinct sound, and it's really like they were an amazing band, an amazing record. So
cool. Thank you for sharing that. Yaya, question to you.
It was yesterday and I didn't play it because I decided today to play Damn Queen's album. Should have played the damn album.
Is that one at least from the
80s? It is. Anyways, I'll think about it in a second. But I just bought Ariana Grande's last album on vinyl because I really like it.
The range, Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande's, and yeah, so I got it in vinyl. So that was the last thing. But I also bought yesterday the one that, oh my God, Dreams, what's the dream song in the 80s? Sweet Dreams. Yes, Sweet Dreams. I bought that vinyl to play
today. The Eurythmics?
Arrhythmic.
Eurythmics.
Yes.
Sweet nice. Dreams are made of these.
You should have found that video.
Thank you for that rendition, too. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome,
babe. All right, Freddie, tell us what you picked up. I'm assuming Washington was the last record pickup.
I like to go by.
Now, Freddie's like another an hour before I got here. That's why I was late. I stopped and dropped records.
Yeah, I like to go by what's been delivered at my door. So the last album that I received was Tame Impala's Lonerisms.
Hmm.
Lonerisms is a very popular album. You should be able to find it anywhere. But the plants are so backed up still. And so it took me a while to even get that album. And because right now they have them marked up for like 50, 60 bucks, and it's ridiculous. I don't
Freddie ain't paying a dime over what he should, right?
I'm a broke millennial, man.
All right, and I want to hear one, maybe the most impactful or important or favorite album you bought while in Washington.
My favorite album that I bought in Washington would be James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud. I've actually never listened to that album, surprisingly. I don't have much. James Brown's one of my favorite artists, and I don't have much James Brown for some reason. But when I do see some, I'm like, all right, let me cop this. And I've never listened to that album, but it's funky. It's real funky. It's like right after he left the group he was in. I think it was like The Flames, James Brown and The Flames. So it was like his second album after leaving that group. And and obviously I'm Black and I'm Proud was a huge hit at the time. It fit into the whole everything that was happening at the time.
Impact.
So yeah, funky album. Never listened to it.
What is the name of the record store you went to real quick? You want to shout them out?
HR Records and Somme Records. Tony just mentioned that we found a Jacksonville.
Come on, man.
A compilation.
Not just an artist from Jacksonville, but like a Jack-centric, hyper-Jack-centric compilation.
Turns out the owner's dad lives here, and that's how you
get
got
the hell out of here.
Bro, I love a good Jacksonville connection yeah. story. I feel like you find those a lot when you leave Jacksonville.
I like imagining the crate digger who like sees that and is like, gotta have it.
Gotta cop. Must cop. He's like, hell yeah.
Probably a lot of people, they're like, this is the most obscure thing I've ever seen in my life.
Need it.
A Jacksonville contemporary music compilation. Wow.
Cool. Thank you, Freddie. All right, Adrian, I'm going to go to you, man. What's the last record you bought?
I copped Aaliyah's One in a Million. Again, I'm building the collection.
I don't even have that.
I need to have Aaliyah in the collection. So got that. And then Slum Village's Fantastic Volume 1, like their unofficial debut album. I got that.
Classic.
Fully produced by Jay Dilla. Had to have it. So now, like I said, I'm in a very good space because I got y'all to kind of guide me and show me some things and make me think about some things.
Adrian, it's been fun to hear, you know, you being like the new vinyl collector in the group. It's been fun to watch you collect like what you're deeming as like quintessential or like essential albums, right? And then all of us be like, damn, we ain't got that. I ain't never thought about that, you know, this and that. How many records, how do you feel about your record vinyl collector journey so far now?
I'm actually, like I said.
Has Sabina yelled at you yet for all the money?
No, not yet. Not yet, but we're building. It's bubbling. I can see it in her face. But
you'll have a cap here soon.
Yeah.
$40 every 2 months.
Yeah,
right?
That eye's twitching.
Yeah, it is. But no, the journey's been awesome. Like I said, man, it's a tribute to y'all because every month when we get to do like a new era,
it forces you.
It forces me to go and look for something in that era. I'm like, oh shit, okay, that's what's up. Because otherwise, I would just probably just go buy records that I like, kind of like our old CD, you know, book that we used to have. You just got all new, you know, current age stuff. But this makes me dig deep. So
you can't burn a vinyl.
Nah,
you can't download off BearShare LimeWire. Freddie, I really resonated with what you said about James Brown because that is the last bunch of records I bought were all 45s. Just kind of, you know,
my
still
favorite format.
Still showing love to the 45 format. But I recently bought a bunch of James Brown 45s. And I feel like, to your point, I really like James Brown. And as someone who, like, you know, loves hip hop and learning about it and, you know, especially like samples, you realize that, like, there would be no hip hop without James Brown. And I was lucky enough to find Funky Drummer on 45. It was like a $20 45, which might be one of the most expensive.
So that's a little.
For a 45, you're like, God damn, $20 for the LP.
That's inflation.
Yeah. Damn,
America,
I was a victim.
America has a problem.
Well, I was a victim of inflation. I didn't even notice it. Try to guess right now how many songs have sampled Funky Drummer. Anyone?
You can just tell us.
I'm going to tell you. It is. I had the number here. I want to make sure it didn't go up in number, but.
While you're looking for that, I think like is something that is also a theme in the 80s, like De La Soul's 3 Feet High and Rising came out in 88 or something, 89. But I mean, like they didn't clear any of the samples on it. And it was like, you know, this whole thing, you know, they were working through this stuff, right. You know, and now like well you said. Have like Renaissance, like Beyonce's new record came out a couple weeks ago. There's songs on there with 24 writer credits on there because a lot of those are just songs that
samples.
Were sampled. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or interpolations and all that stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, what a huge thing that was happening, like, you know, under most people's noses in the 80s, you know, changed.
And I think to that point, like, the music industry becoming, like, a full-fledged industry. And I think, like, nuances like that, like the technology advancing, right? And then music having to catch up. And then the business being like, whoa.
And then law after
somebody got to get paid for this.
Yeah.
Okay, so the answer was much higher than I thought. I thought it was only 1,100 songs, but it has been credited in over 1,761 songs for samples. Damn, so
that's what James was getting all that money for.
refresh it now, and there's like two more on there. Two more credits.
But yeah, I picked up a bunch of James Brown 45s, and then I picked up recently too Lil' Kim's first album on vinyl too,
okay.
Which I think is one of the best rap albums of all time. And when you want to like drill it down to like, you know, female MCs, like women MC, women in hip hop, that is such a pivotal, just a milestone.
What's
I think
the singles off that one?
Oh, Crush on You, Time,
oh, man.
Big Mama Thing, Drugs. There's a few other ones on there too, but it's a great album to get on vinyl. So that's what I got. New records aside, let's go ahead and talk about the records that we brought for today's theme. We did something a little different. Instead of doing our usual three rounds, one person each, we decided to do everyone kind of play whatever three songs they wanted off whatever albums and whatever order they wanted. And they did kind of like a person-centric round. So I want to hear what three records did you bring, and which one do you feel fits the theme the most, like just perfectly? Yaya, I'm gonna go to you. How about you kick us off since you were the host today?
Howdy. Oh man, I don't have my records with me.
You did Phil Collins first.
I did do Phil Collins first. I did In the Air Tonight first. And the reason why I did that is because my professor from Full Sail University worked on that album. And he gave us a pretty cool story on how the drums were recorded. They put a microphone where the speaker is in the studio. And that's where you get that like weird effect with the drums.
Yeah,
so that was pretty dope. And plus Phil Collins, like that's a song that it just will always be a cool song to the end of time. People love it, identify with it.
I mean, he's synonymous with the 80s. You could say like what year did that come out, and the answer could just be Phil Collins.
Yeah, exactly. It really I guess he would definitely be the what was the second question? The
record that best fit this theme.
Yeah.
The theme, and Phil Collins for sure would take that.
100%.
The second album I brought was Conga from Gloria Estefan, and we played Conga. And the reason why is because, you know, they help really introduce that Latin sound to the world. You know, they're not the first ones to do it because La Lupe was, you know, but they were really the first ones to introduce that sound to the world, to do a Spanish song, like a full-on Spanish beat song with English lyrics. So that was pretty dope. So of course I had to play them because I have to play an honor and not an homage represent. To my Latinos somehow.
We gotta get like a for her or something.
I know,
like,
right?
As an effect or something.
And the last Latino one, which effect. I just found out, I should have played the vinyl that I bought yesterday, which would have been Sweet Dreams Are Made of These, but instead I decided to play Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody because
the live version from 1985.
Yeah, there we
right?
go. The yeah. live version from 1985. So that does still count.
I want to hear real quick before you pass the mic. Besides your set, what was your favorite set that someone played?
I would say Freddie. Because I love that song, Africa.
Yeah, Toto, it's Africa.
Definitely one of my top five 80s songs.
Nice. Freddie, what about you? Give me the highlight, the one record you brought that fits the theme, and then tell me who had your favorite set outside of your own.
So I'm just going to pick one. I'm do Toto. I always do Toto. I'm thinking of fucking
Wizard of Oz.
Like, yeah, I brought Toto. But Toto. And I played the song Africa off this joint. And this was the one that best fit the theme, in my opinion. Those big, corny... Y'all don't like the word corny when referencing 80s, but I always think the 80s are mad corny. To me.
Yeah.
Don't kill me. Not in a bad way. It's just, you know, kind of cheesy, you know. But I love it still. It's still fantastic music. But yeah, Toto for me.
All right. And then who had your favorite set outside your own? Freddie was like, I set the bar too high.
He's like, well, actually.
I'm going to go with our guest because he definitely introduced me to some stuff that I have not heard before. Yes. So that's I'm going to go with that.
Good stuff. All right. Speaking of which, Matt, how about you take it next?
All right. So which record fit the theme the best?
Out of the three records you brought, what is the one that you feel fit the theme?
Yeah. Well, I think for all of us, like being the age that we are, like I think we all like have talked a little bit about this, like that we experienced the 80s like music later, you know, than the 80s, not while it was happening. And so like my impression of 80s music early on when I first started like having my own musical taste was that it was corny and cheesy, you know. And so Prince, the Purple Rain soundtrack, was the record that I brought because that was like seeing that movie once I was a little bit more aware and like open-minded, and seeing the performances in that movie and seeing a rock band that, like, you know, he played every instrument, he sang incredibly well, they had synchronized dance moves, and they dressed cool as hell. Yeah. And I was like, that's 80s to me, like that. And it's just opened my mind up to the fact that there were lots of cool bands doing lots of cool stuff during that era. It wasn't all corny, but
yeah, good stuff. And who had your favorite set?
Oh my gosh, don't make me choose. We're just getting to know each other.
Matt, choose wisely, man.
Which set, whether it was your favorite or one that introduced you to something new that you're like, oh, that's pretty cool, I didn't know about that, I'll check it out.
Well, I didn't know the Adidas sneaker story.
The Run DMC?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with your set.
Yeah.
I was trying to force Matt.
Yeah, he forced it. We saw the game, son.
Well, that was interesting to me because I know that they, you know, obviously like boosted sales, but I didn't know that they like actually like had a, you know, a partnership and the way it came about. That was
first cool. Endorsement of a huge company. Thank you. All right, Adrian, I'm gonna give it to you, man.
Yep. And then to round it out, well, not to round it out, I guess you gotta go after me, but for the record that I brought that I felt fit the theme the best was the Thriller record, PYT. You know, you're talking about the 80s, you can't have an 80s conversation and not talk about Prince. You can't have that conversation and not talk about Michael too. So figured I, you know, would grace us with that one. And then the set that I like the most, yeah, man, I like your set, Botter.
Oh, I appreciate it, man.
The Run DMC talk was great.
Thank you.
Freddie, man.
Oh, Freddie,
like we're tied.
Freddie, I didn't know it was going to be a competition, but looks like I'm the tiebreaker.
And randomly, I think
audience poll.
Do you pronounce this Toto or Tutu?
Toto.
I think it's Toto.
Toto.
Yeah, it's Toto.
I've always heard Toto.
Yeah, same.
Don't say that, Adrian. We're not gonna tell you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's all my Spanish speakers.
The record I brought that I'm gonna highlight that I feel I feel like the Run DMC Tough Leather would be a good one, but I'm gonna go with that the Tears for Fear songs from the Big Chair. Not only is it like one of my favorite kind of 80s albums, but I just feel like it's much like the Phil Collins and the Toto, like it imperfectly encapsulates like the time period. Like it sounds very industrial, but at the same time, like really warm of like the instrumentation. There is a lot of corny like lines, but it feels very triumphant, right? To like yell, shout, let it all out, or everybody wants to rule the world. There's just like so many. That album's got a lot of bangers, as the kids would say. And I think, you know, much like you said, like when you think Phil Collins and Sweet Dreams and all that, Tears for Fear, like whether it be Shout or Everybody Wants to Rule the World, comes to mind when you think of the 80s.
So. That's something that we didn't touch on at all. And I think this is like very common in the 80s. It's like all the big albums had like, they were just top to bottom like radio bangers. Like you put out an album and every song was like meant to go on the radio, you know? And it was like coming out of the 70s where like you had a lot of record labels who would put like, they would purposely only put one hit on the full album, you know? In the 80s, it just like changed that. You had like, you know, Thriller, obviously, but like even before that, Off the Wall was like, you know, had every song was on the radio.
And that's how I feel about Tears for Fear. It's got that one album to me has got all the ones I want to listen to. I think everything else, maybe I cherry pick.
Do you guys remember that show on VH1? Like, I love the 80s. Come on. I love the 90s. I think that Shout Let It All Out song was like one of the like theme songs for those episodes. Like,
oh.
Yeah. So it was like, it was literally quintessentially like the 80s for me in my mind. Anyways.
That makes sense. And I guess I'm going to have to break this tiebreaker and give it to Freddie. Freddie had my favorite set.
I mean, it is my
You know
birthday.
What? Here, I'm going to give you one of these. I'm going to give you one of these. I'm going to give Freddie a round of applause. Round of applause for boy Freddie.
It is my birthday-ish. Basically.
Oh,
happy birthday, Freddie.
It is also Beyonce's official birthday.
The day that we're recording this is Two Goat's birthday, all right, ladies and gents.
Birthday season, Freddie, all day.
Freddie, I got to give it to you. Like I said, you came through with the Chicago, the Foreigner. What was the other album? What was the third one?
Toto.
Thank you. Chicago, Foreigner, Toto. I feel like you understood the assignment and you came through big time with the self-imposed rule too. No R&B and soul. I mean, gotta give it to you.
Restraints on myself.
Gotta give it to you. All right.
I just had to make sure all of them were from the 80s.
Yeah. So not only did he put a challenge, but then he whipped their ass with the challenge.
Follow the rules.
And we decided to do sets this go time instead of doing like one song each. Freddie's story, I mean, he evoked so much emotion, bared his soul. Learned a little bit about Tony. Come on.
Nearly shed a tear.
We did. Tony, you missed it.
I mean, come on. Beautiful.
We learned about Freddie. We learned a little bit more.
You did
about
the damn thing, Freddie.
Y'all's Puerto Rico trip, and it's a beautiful story, and that's all we're going
to
say.
I'm not going to be a listener to Chicago the same way without
Chicago
thinking about
in
you.
The mountains.
All right. Now that we got the records, the themes out the way, you guys know our last segment of the show. It used to be called the Rewind Spin, but I think I have a new name. I'm looking to Freddie for this one because Freddie said my last idea sucked. Matter of fact, that's where we got our awesome soundbite.
That sucks.
So I think going forward, the Rewind Spin will be renamed to the Backspin.
That doesn't suck as much.
Yes. I'll take it.
Congratulations, right? Bobby.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. I want to thank my mom.
Of course.
Beyonce. I want to go. The Rewind Spin, now the Backspin, is the last segment of the show where we highlight that one song, whether it be part of this, it doesn't have to be part of this theme, but the one song that we've had on repeat constantly lately that we want to share with the world. I'm going to look to our guest of honor. Matt, do you want to highlight one song that you've had on repeat recently? It doesn't even have to be brand new, but just one that you've just kind of really been magnetized by.
Oh, so there's a, you know, they're kind of indie rock band called Drug Dealer that's had been putting out music for 5-6 years, usually with a guest vocalist on there. Like they did a song with Wiseblood a couple years ago that was like, you know, a hit song, whatever. But on this new record, the main producer in the band, he's actually singing and he has an incredible voice. It's like, what the heck? And it's kind of this like, has this kind of retro soul feel. The song's called Madison. It's one of two songs that are out, like singles for a record that's coming out soon. But it's kind of got this like Bill Withersy like kind of retro soul thing going on. It's like, it's pretty top notch. When I first heard it, I was like, is that from the 70s? Like, it's really nice. Well done. Yeah. So,
sounds like everything I want to hear. I was going to play a little sample of that. All right, yeah, same question. What's the Backspin for you today? You know, we'll
it's
work that. I'm going to sell you all that.
Uchis. I feel like Aliuchi still doesn't get the recognition that she deserves. Even with her last hit being, even with her Telepatía being a huge hit. Anyways, Aliuchi came out with a new song, No Aile. It's a bilingual song in English and Spanish. It's a little bit different for her. It's like an upbeat club kind of sound. Reggae. It's like a reggae club kind of sound. And I'm here for it. I really, really like it. I love Kali Uchis. She sounds better live than on her album. She's one of those artists. And yeah.
Where is she from?
She is half Colombian and half American. But her mom is Colombian, so, you know, she is Colombian.
I really like her, but it's like, why is Rosalia so much bigger than what she is?
I don't understand. Politics. And Kali Uchis's music to me is better. Like, it's consistent. Her whole album, if you listen to her album, she has more better songs than no. Like, you know how, like, you know, some albums you have to skip a lot of songs? Like, her album, you could listen to all of them. I really like it. So I don't know. She doesn't. I don't understand why she doesn't have that support. And I felt like with Telepatía, I thought that would have been like the push to get her out there. But her team is not like helping. She doesn't have that team because she has it. She has a body. She has a talent. She has a support. A lot of artists support her. But I don't know why she hasn't blown up.
Adrian, you activated something right there. Anytime that you can get Yaya talking like music business talk, anytime Yaya throws in like her team, yeah, like talks about a artist team, I'm like, Yaya's in her bag.
You call me Adrian.
That's cool. We all
my bad.
Like,
my bad. My bad. My bad. My bad. My bad.
Whatever, I know we both have very lovely voices.
That was it. That was it.
Come on, B.
Thank you for that answer, Yaya.
All right. Well, let me save myself and just play a sample of the song Yaya just brought up. Finding the songs that we all play, because, you know, I'm having to listen back to it and like, okay, what is the name of that song? My YouTube algorithm be on point. It's like, yeah, it take me down some different spots. All right, Freddie, what about you, man? What's the backspin for this month? You saw how I worked that in there? What's the backspin? I'm trying to make that work stick.
There's an album by, I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce. I don't know how to pronounce any band's name.
I feel like you have been on a roll recently, by the way, because you finding your songs are usually the challenging. Because you'll be like, I don't know the name of this person, and I'm having to guess.
Is. I don't know anything. It's like foreign. I'm like, I don't know anything about this band.
Tata, I think.
But I want to say the name is pronounced Brigine. It's B-R-I-J-E-A-N.
Like Brigine or something?
And they're the I guess they're the band for Toi et Moi. Mm-hmm. I think I pronounced that right. But the song specifically that I fuck with is Ooh La La. It's like a alternative funk vibey type joint. Yeah, that's what I got.
It sounds like I'm gonna like it when I edit this episode. Tell me how you feel it. All right, Adrian, let's go to you, man. What you got for us?
Yes, you know, I'm always pumping the UK R&B sound. And that's, no, it's not Beyonce, but you know, the album or the there's an album coming out by a young lady named Eliza up in the UK. And, she has a song called, all the songs on there are good. She's another Kali Uchis. I feel like she doesn't get the shine that she needs, but, the song that I like is, Heat of the Moon. That's on that one. Oh no, I'm sorry. Me Versus Me. That's the one I want to plug today. So Me Versus Me by Eliza.
All right, and my song for this week I'll share for everyone is, Adrian, you might immediately know this one, but this group called The Sacred Soul.
Oh, yeah, San Diego.
Come on, man. Matt's on it, too. My bad. I should have mentioned Matt. I'm over here discounting Matt.
Come on, bro.
All right, I'm talking to the independent curator. Yes. Right? I should have been known that. But it is this group called The Sacred Soul. They are from Southern California. I want to say.
But they're San Diego. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, so from Southern California. A sweet soul vibe. So sweet soul from the 60s meets like, you know, instrumentation from the 70s meets like a modern like twist to it all. So they just put out their album that is self-titled, The Sacred Souls. Earlier this, no, I'm sorry. Damn, this released in June 15th? I feel like it came out just now, though.
Yeah, it was under the radar, but it's a Daptone release.
Yes, it is. And they were found by the co-founder of Daptones Records. And for those that don't know, Daptones has put out artists like Charles Bradley, Sharon King, Jones. Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings and all that. So if you're a fan of like that modern, sweet soul kind of doo-wop group sound, These Sacred Souls is super fire. And if you listen to Soulection Radio, you know they've been supporting these guys for like months now.
Yeah.
So the song I'm going to play by them is called Easier Said Than Done. All right, and that is the last song, which brings us to closing. I want to go ahead and thank our special guest. We'll give a round of snaps for our special guest, Matt Shaw.
Thanks.
Matt, thank you so much for stopping through.
We got to sing happy birthday.
Oh. To Freddie? Oh, Yaya disappeared to bring a cupcake with a candle for Freddie.
Happy
birthday.
Yeah. I'm like, Adrian's.
Wait, are they going to share a cupcake?
It's Virgo energy here all day.
Wait, are they going to share a cupcake?
I'm like, do you want to blow it out together, Adrian?
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right, real quick. So here's what I'd like us to do. Let's sing the fastest version of happy birthday possible, all right? On the count of three. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Adrian. Happy birthday, dear Freddie. Happy birthday.
All right,
mother flowers.
One, two, three. You go for us.
I won't lie. I don't think I've ever seen two. Oh, that was cute. I don't think I've ever seen two grown men share a candle blow.
What was the name of our group last podcast?
Oh, it was the Next Spin Brothers.
No, it was another one. The Wood.
That's right. That's what it was. We shared a moment. All right, but Spinheads, that is our show for today. Like I said, I want to thank our special guest, Matt Shaw. I want to thank our host today, Yaya. We had Freddie on the mic. We had Adrian on the mic. And we want to thank you, all right, the listener, for tuning in. Next month is going to be hosted, I believe, by Adrian, right?
Yes, sir.
Adrian, can you share your theme? Have you thought about what theme you're doing?
I have not. And I apologize for that, but I do know it's my turn, and I will have a theme.
Okay. So it'll be a surprise to you all until the episode comes out. So stay tuned. That's even more reason to check it out. But speaking about next episode, I got to bring this up, all right? Our official Next Spin inbox desperately needs some fucking love, all right? We were supposed to have emails to read, and lo and behold, it was just dry, all right? It was like a tumbleweed was in the inbox. So if you are enjoying these episodes, or if you really liked this episode, or just a fan of the podcast in general, we invite you to join in on the conversation, all right? Right into our official inbox at thenextspin@gmail.com. That's with two X's. You should know that by now. Or you can even just write us in via DM, all right? Send us a DM on Instagram. Let us know if there's any topics or themes you want us to do, or if you just want to chime in about any of the records that we've talked about.
Our heavily active IG page.
Hey, and while you're at the IG page, hit up our at NextSpin with two X's, NextSpin on Twitter.
Also extremely active.
Very active. So active.
That is your marching orders for today to Spinheads. Other than that, like I said, that's our show today. On behalf of the Next Spin crew, thank you so much for tuning in. Besides writing us in and giving us some love on Instagram and Twitter, please go ahead and find it in your hearts to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It doesn't cost you anything, not even one penny, all right? It might cost you 10 seconds, though, because you got to write a short review. But it would mean the world to us because it can help us grow this show and get the word out to the people. I want to go ahead and, like I said, thank our co-host. And while you're at it, I didn't give this enough chance to plug this in, but if you listen to our episode of Matt Shaw, the whole dedicated interview, he talked ad nauseum about the JME, the Jax Music Experience platform. It is an incredible online radio station, specifically the Independent 89.9. It's an excellent station to put you on. If you're someone that likes to discover new music or likes your nights curated with chill music. Matt, do you got anything major going on that you want to plug in regards to JME or the Independent?
Oh yeah, we're trying to build an audience here locally. So if you're a listener, you know, in Jacksonville, we'd really need your your ears on our radio stations. And if you want to visit the website, jacksmusic.org, there's a lot of great music editorial content. You can learn something new about music and discover new music. We got playlists going up there. We're always highlighting some of our contributors' favorite picks of new music and stuff. So, you know, we're nonprofit, publicly supported music platform. So it's, you know, eyeballs and ears. That's all we need.
There
so
we go.
If you can do that, we appreciate it.
I'll have links to that in the show notes. Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, super snaps. Yeah, if you reside in Jax or the area, there's definitely no reason for you not to be supporting this, considering the independent lives up to its name and plays a lot of new music from Jacksonville and the region, as well as emerging national and international artists and deep cuts from musical icons. Besides that, it is now 101 degrees in this room as we record. I'm going to shut up. It's time to turn the AC back on. But please, Spinheads, come back next month for the next spin. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And most importantly, take care of yourselves. Don't forget to play your records, and we'll catch you soon. Peace.
Peace.
Good job.